is.
Vicky walked this way, one of those. That's fine. I have to do one of those.
All right, since everybody's ready to proceed here with complaint number 24-14-C, Dr. Tasha Klotzbach-Larios. And as we have indicated, we have two complainants, and we will, since and the doctor is not present, so we will go ahead and hear from the complainants. And again, if they would introduce themselves with their initials, and we'll hear from them. Thank you, gentlemen.
I'm sorry, can we go back before that? Because
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. This is Ms. Broman. I am requesting that I be recused.
All right. So as we still have quorum, so there's no worries about anything in that regard, since Ms. Broman has recused herself, as she obviously has a conflict of interest here. And we just ask.
And I'd also like to say that I think we need the position here before proceeding with anything, because there are a lot of questions to ask.
Of course, we can go ahead and we can hear from the complainants since they are on the line and gather that information, and then ask them questions, and then we can, because there's going to be things I think that you may want to request from the physician.
Okay.
So let's listen to them, and then we'll go into our discussion and decide which, how we're going to move forward and what other components that we need. Does that sound fair?
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. So we will then, like I said, let's begin with whichever complaint would like to speak first. And just again, please identify yourself via your initials.
Yes, this is J.M. Juliet, Mike. And I represent Blue Shield of California. There are a number of issues with this provider's behavior, but the primary thrust of our complaint / report to Arizona was that she does not possess an Arizona osteopathic license. Is not licensed as a osteopath, but she represented to Blue Shield California and others that she did in fact possess that license. I believe she's a podiatrist is the only medical licensure that she possesses, but given her other behavior, it's an open question. Ms. Larios has also misused or acted as an imposter using other real providers' medical licenses in California. This was discovered after Blue Shield of California terminated her, that she was using the license of other doctors to prepare reports, to obtain prescription drugs, and that's what we know now. My client, on behalf of my client, we have reported her to regulators, medical boards, and law enforcement, both state and federal law enforcement, including the Federal Bureau of Investigation. What we'd like to see is the regulators to act to investigate and, if appropriate, strip her of licensure. Happy to answer any questions.
Are you Blue Cross? Are you counsel to Blue Cross?
I am.
You are the counsel. Okay.
And sort of our interest here is protecting others and the general public from her fraud. I mean, she's essentially committed identity theft. She's falsified her for licensure. She's imposed as other doc, as an imposter as other doctors.
Do you know, has there been any action against her California license for podiatry?
Well, we've reported her misconduct to all the various medical boards in California that we think might have purview over her jurisdiction, so to speak. We've also referred her to the Attorney General's office, or made reports and complaints to the Attorney General's office and to the U.S. Attorney's Office and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We know that federal law enforcement is looking into the matter, but beyond that, I can't speak to what they're doing or what their timeline is.
Okay, so you haven't had any response from the California Medical Board for Podiatrists? Because I know they're all under the same blanket.
Yeah, I believe my colleague could probably weigh in. I believe we received a response, but it was more just of a, we've received your complaint. And we're looking into it.
This is Ann. Yes, that's correct. They've given confirmation of receipt of our complaint letter, but they have not taken any action yet on it. They're still investigating.
Okay. Does your colleague have anything he'd like to add other than that?
No, that's about it. We're happy to answer any questions the board may have for us.
Okay. So, Dr. Foreman, do you have questions for the gentleman?
Yeah, I assume you guys did a background check. Did it show up that she had a DO license from as shown on her CV?
Well, she, yes. I mean, of course, you know, my client did its appropriate due diligence. But what she's done is she uses various aliases that mirror the names of real providers. Like, for example, there might be a provider in San Diego that's name sounds similar or looks similar to her name. So she lists those credentials and uses them, you know, the number, the NPI number, for example, when she applies for jobs. And this has happened to other companies as well, you know, who we're in touch with, and everyone's cooperating to try to, frankly, bring her to justice.
Okay. I mean, one of the questions I'm going to have, I guess, Heather, is please contact the Des Moines University and see if she does have a degree in osteopathic medicine awarded May 2006.
Dr. Foreman, I did review her licensing file, and she did graduate from, it was their osteopathic program, but specific to podiatry. I can get into her licensing file real quick and let you know exactly what the diploma says. And I did receive correspondence from the executive director from Arizona's osteopathic board, and he forwarded me the information. She is not licensed as a osteopathic doctor in Arizona. I did check the California board's website under two of the last names that she's used with this board, and I did not see that she was licensed in California. So if you can just give me 1 minute to get into her licensing file.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is AAG Monahan. Dr. Foreman, if you look at the documentation where she has submitted license numbers, it appears that the license number that is indicated for her osteopathic license is identical to her DPM license. As you know, the state of Arizona has two boards, not one board, that issues one osteopathic / DPM license.
Yes.
This is Heather Broaddus again, Dr. Foreman, to answer your question. So her diploma says Des Moines University Osteopathic Medical Center, College of Podiatric Medicine and Surgery. And
okay.
the degree type is Doctor of Podiatric Medicine. I do not see anything in her licensing file for osteopathic.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
Okay, Ms. Johnson-Gray, do you have questions for the gentleman?
I do not.
Well, obviously, I think there's a lot going on here, and I would be remiss if we did not bring the doctor in also to speak with her, and maybe doing some request of further information from her, regarding health conditions and also about the names and everything else of the aliases that she's been under. What are your thoughts?
This is Board Member Johnson Gray. I agree with that.
I concur.
So what then, okay, so what would you like to see, have subpoenaed?
From the
doctor.
I'd like to see her her degree, her DO degree.
Madam Chair, board members, this is Heather Broaddus, if I may. Dr. Foreman, would you like me to contact Des Moines University directly?
Yeah, I mean, I think we definitely need to find out this, because obviously it seems as though there could be a possibility of her not having the license and saying she does have a license. So, you know, we want to make sure we check everything before we make a judgment.
Heather, I think I can help you. Again, sorry, this is AAG Monaghan. Maybe if the direction is to subpoena any and all documentation to verify the statements made regarding the DO license and degree. And then I can work with Heather. Heather, that works for you. We can work to identify those appropriate documents.
Thank you, Shayna.
And do you find it, board members, necessary to, because there's a lot of statement in here regarding health conditions and things like that, that's why she's not present today, and how, you know, because if we'd like to speak with her, you know, we don't know what's going on, how much, you know, what kind of a delay we're going to see in dealing with this situation, with her health situation. That we have a time frame to work with in trying to, you know, do our due diligence here.
What do you think? 50 days?
Madam Chair, board members, if
this,
I may.
This is JM, Council of Blue Cross, Blue Shield of California, rather. I can share with you that when we contact her by email, or otherwise, he responds nearly immediately, the same day, sometimes within less than an hour, often, and her writing is cogent and clear, and we presume it to be her, because it's her email address that she uses. And so our view is this is, I mean, obviously it's, you have the regulatory purview and the jurisdiction here, but my judgment is that there's no medical health issue. And one thing I didn't share earlier is that in investigating this matter, and it was difficult to find because it was her maiden name, she was a podiatrist in the Navy and she was brought up on a general court-martial charge, which she resolved through a plea bargain, with the military's version of a plea bargain. But the charges, the specifications, were all very similar to this fraudulent conduct that she's purveying now. And our main concern is that she's using a fictitious license from Arizona to practice medicine. So I have limited power as an attorney in the civil realm. Would try to get law enforcement to engage and act through the Attorney General and the FBI and the United States Attorney's Office, because they obviously can issue warrants and bring criminal action to halt her behavior. But, you know, frankly, we just need everyone's help to move swiftly. And my belief is that this statement that she's medical issues, she can't make it. I mean, that doesn't square with her other behavior. So that's our view on the matter.
Madam Chair, board members, if I may, this is Heather Broaddus again. Dr. Klotzbach-Larios did respond in that she is willing to provide any documentation that, you know, the board would ask for. So the board may just ask for her to provide all of the documentation that she says that has withheld for, you know, various reasons. The board could just ask for all of that documentation. And Seamus, if you need to stop me, please do so. I know that JM, counsel for Blue Shield, indicated that she, you know, was in the Navy and had been reprimanded. The board did review that back in 2015, 2016, and did take action on that. So I just want the board to know that.
Okay, that was, thank you. The court-martial issue. And remind us what we did at that time?
It was a letter of concern for conduct unbecoming, something to that effect. I would have to look back at the letter of concern language, but that's what I remember. It was just for unprofessional conduct, basically, for violating those federal codes while in the Navy.
Yeah, I did not remember that. Okay. So then if we could, if board members are in, you know, the other option that we have, if, you know, is to actually, and I believe Heather has mentioned that the physician said she would voluntarily relinquish her license here in Arizona, because that's an option we do have, is to offer her an interim consent agreement for voluntary surrender of her license. And if she doesn't agree to that in a 10-day period, then we can subpoena all the records. So that's it. That is another option.
Sorry, Dr. Campbell?
Yes.
This is AAG Monahan. So I would actually encourage you to move forward on the investigation piece and add this, not interim, but it'd actually be a final consent agreement and order. I'd be happy to draft it and offer that to her as part of your motion. But I would also, in the interim, direct Heather to get that information. And there's no reason why this individual can't show up at the next meeting, or at least call in. They can be given the opportunity to call in. Because the board does have subpoena authority. You could subpoena her to be present at the next meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I think in order to do our due diligence, I was just putting that out there about the voluntary surrender because of what she had
Absolutely.
Said.
Absolutely. I think it's a great idea. Dr. Campbell, I would just say maybe piggyback that on top of continuing this forward quickly. And I know this has been reported very clear that it's been reported to the AG's office, but you could also include as a third part in your motion to refer to the AG's criminal division with the information you have, which again is probably going to be duplicative, and they may or and it sounds like they're probably already looking into this, but the board does that have that authority.
And Madam Chair, board members, this is Heather Broaddus again. I apologize for interrupting, but I just wanted to clarify an email communication with Dr. Klotzbach-Larry. She indicated that, you know, there are several factors to these allegations, and she had asked the board for some clarification as to whether, you know, the board could concede, I guess, to one of her requests, and if not, that she would just let her license go, basically, is how she worded it, and keep her license in the state that she's practicing, which indicated to me that she's not currently practicing in Arizona. So I just wanted to clarify that she didn't necessarily say that she would voluntarily surrender, but that it would be the same, you know, as letting her license go.
Okay, so that we're all clear.
And I would encourage you, Dr. Campbell, to offer that voluntary surrender to push these things forward.
Okay, so we're asking for Heather then to subpoena all the documentation that she has withheld that she mentioned in her response. As number one, and then in particular, if that was piggybacked on that, in particular, if she has verification of holding a DL license in California, is that what that was? Well, I think Dr. Foreman had said that, or was that in Arizona that he said which.
I believe I was supposed to, this is Heather Broaddus, I believe I was asked to contact Des Moines University directly.
Oh, that's, okay, verify DPM degree at Des Moines, okay.
An OCD.
Dr. DO degree at Des Moines.
Yes.
Dr. Rafia Patkin.
Because I can confirm that she does not have a Doctor of Osteopathic license in Arizona.
Right, okay, so we'll go back. So we want to continue with this investigation in an expeditious manner, obviously. So we'll ask for all documentation that she that the doctor said she's withholding, and that in particular for Ms. Broaddus to get verification from Des Moines University regarding if there's a presence of a DO degree for this doctor. And then Seamus had recommended referring to the state of Arizona's AG's office criminal division. And then also as far as procedure here is to be, we're prepared to offer her an interim consent agreement for voluntary surrender of her license.
No, that'd be a final consent.
That's a final. That's the final. Okay. So we're really not making a. My motion would be then we could just make a motion to continue the investigation with the following directions to our executive director.
That would be appropriate.
Okay. Hang on a second. Does anyone else have any pleas for other discussion or things that they'd like to see occur here with this investigation?
This is Board Member Johnson Gray. I agree with all that has been recommended thus far. Thank you.
Just want a second.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Foreman. It's been moved and seconded to continue the investigation for this case 24-14-C and to direct our executive director, Ms. Heather Broaddus, to subpoena or request all documentation that the doctor has indicated she had withheld in her initial response. We're also directing Ms. Broaddus to contact Des Moines University regarding presence of a DO degree for the physician, and then to refer this to criminal division at the state of Arizona's AG office, realizing too that there may be some duplication that has come from Blue Cross of California in their contacts with multiple agencies. And then with the caveat that this is not included in the motion, about being prepared to offer the interim voluntary surrender of the license if we aren't able to achieve what we're trying to get. So is there any other discussion on the motion? We do have a second. All in favor of the motion? Aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries. So, oh, and gentlemen from Blue Cross, I think I remember seeing in your documentation to us that would you be keeping the board apprised of any other information that you may have or where you are in your process? Was that part of your documentation?
Yes, this is JM. I mean, we will. Okay. We discover anything additional that we believe to be relevant and useful to you, we'll share it with the board.
Okay, thank you. And,
and we do know that in our own investigation that the records that Larios has provided to us are, we believe to be forgeries in many cases. Like they're counterfeit documents, so to speak. I'm sure you're aware of it. Mm-hmm. I know you handle many cases where there's fraud, but just be aware that whatever she provides you is suspect, to say the least.
Yeah. Alrighty. Does anybody have any other questions or comments for anyone present in this discussion? So I guess we'll just, and then once we have our decisions, then we'll be informing them also.
The complainants,
Seamus,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Will that be something that you would have to do, Seamus, as counsel, or could that come directly from the board office?
I'm sorry, what is that, Dr. Kim?
So what is the protocol or procedure for communication to the complainant? Is it through Heather or through you because of the nature of the complaint?
That would be the same as any other case. Everything will go through Heather.
Okay. Just was wanted to be sure. Okay. So,
yes, absolutely.
Okay, so then sounds like we're all here on the same page, and we'll keep on with what we discussed. All right.
I'm going to ask Ms. Broman to come back on.
Okay, so we'll thank you, gentlemen, and we will then.
I did have a quick question. I apologize. This is Jan. The doctor or the board member that recused herself, I didn't catch her name. Which person was that?
That was Vicki Broman. She's one of our public members.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
All right. So let's move on to six, which is our Attorney General, Seamus Monahan, is going to give us an update on the recent legislation that occurred during this last legislative period.
Good morning, board. This is AAG Monahan. No update. Again, there's a few bills in there. If you have questions about them, as opposed to entertaining hypotheticals, if you have questions, feel free to reach out to me. privately, either through email or my phone, or when the next case comes up and one of these bills is in play, I will make sure to communicate that with you and explain how it's going to work.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
All right. So then we'll move on here to 7. Is Ms. Borman back on?
I just sent her a message,
okay,
letting her know that she could come back on the call.
Okay, while we're waiting for Ms. Borman, you guys want to just, we'll have kind of a little impromptu break here for a few minutes.
I'm on the call.
Pardon?
Sorry, I am on the call.
Oh, you're there. Okay, so let's move on then. Okay, so now we're on 7, which is a review of what occurred at the recent Federation of Podiatric Medical Boards. We had a meeting on October 1st, which Heather and I both attended. And the topics were the Interstate Podiatric Medical Licensure Compact. And in your packet, I'm sure you all saw the presentation that was given by Jay LeBeau, who is part of the FPMB, in regards to where things are with the compact. And there had been a meeting about a month ago. And I know Ms. Broaddus had, and I both had a lot of questions, and there will be another meeting November 21st that we'll be attending where she can ask those questions. So, and the other portion is, so at this time, if do you have any questions for Heather or I regarding the compact? And if there's anything you'd like us to ask at this upcoming meeting? Do you want to?
Madam Chair, board members, this is Heather Broaddus. I do have questions that I will be asking at the upcoming meeting regarding renewals and background information. If in the, you know, in the meantime, prior to that meeting, if you have any questions you would like to be presented to the committee, just feel free to message me, send me an email, call me, and I would be happy to do so.
Thank you. Now this, because the compact actually, they're looking to find, you know, states that want to participate in the compact. And in order to participate, there has to be legislative changes. So that's, you know, a big question as to having states want to participate in the compact, because then there would be that process of going through the legislature in order to do that. So again, we'll have more information.
And I believe that they need 7 states to enact legislation before the compact becomes a compact.
Yeah.
So they are asking for states to start running that legislation now. If that's something the board would like, you know, me to look into, I can. If you want to wait for additional information, since more meetings are coming up, that's, you know, that's up to the board.
So do you have any thoughts on that, board members? Okay. So then other part of the meeting was having to do with the physician's health care, the PHP. And what that is it's, you know, there's more and more physicians out there, obviously, that have health issues, drug problems, mental health issues that can affect their practices. And of course, being national boards are concerned, obviously, with patient safety. So these are programs that are available that we're trying to present to physicians so that they know that they're out there, so that they can get care for themselves, be proactive and have care before something could happen at a board complaint, where they would then have to have, that there would be an action against them to go through the process of having treatment for a problem. Does that make sense? So there's 2 here in Arizona.
Yes, Madam Chair, board members. So my understanding is that this is a voluntary program. Some boards do partner with these facilities as a confidential monitoring program if there was, you know, if the physician had come to the board and self-reported. But if a physician doesn't self-report, then they enter these programs voluntarily to get treatment, whether it's for mental health, substance abuse issues, whatever treatment it may be. The two facilities in Arizona that have the PHP programs are Arizona Gateway Recovery Institute and Community Bridges. And I did look on their websites, and they do offer these programs for multiple different professions in Arizona. So it would be up to the board if the board wanted to direct me to look further into this program, because as far as I'm aware, any physician at any time can enter the program. But I can also look into the programs to see if, you know, the board would need to partner with them for like a confidential monitoring program if a physician were to self-report. And I would also ask the board to give me direction if they want me to post this information on the board's website, just, you know, to let to try to get the community aware of these programs. I can also contact the Arizona State Association. Again, that's up to the board. You know, I would ask for direction on that. My other question I would ask for direction on is currently, we have a question on the initial application and on the renewal application. It says, have you had a medical condition that in any way impairs or limits your ability to practice podiatric medicine? And then a physician just answers yes or no. A lot of jurisdictions are changing the language, you know, taking that language out. Most jurisdictions have similar language, you know, to this board's, and they're modifying the language to read, are you currently suffering from any condition for which you are not being appropriately treated that impairs your judgment or that would otherwise adversely affect your ability to practice medicine in a competent, ethical, and professional manner? And that would allow a physician to answer no if they are being appropriately treated, you know, if they did enter one of these confidential programs and they are receiving treatment for whatever mental health or whatever condition it may be, they can answer that question no. Now, my understanding too with these programs is that they are considered confidential unless the program director or whatever medical professional is running those programs determines that there may be a public safety issue, and then it is reported to the regulatory board. So I think that's my summary. I can answer any questions.
So,
Heather,
I've got a quick question. If somebody is having a mental health or a drug issue and they go into this program, are they allowed to practice at the same time they're in this program? Because that would be a concern of mine. I believe that there should be a temporary hold or something without affecting the doctors, the physicians. But when they get out and there is some kind of certificate that they've completed it, then it comes off. And it could be very, you know, you can't do that anonymously, of course. But I definitely have an issue with somebody who is going through rehab. Practicing medicine.
Ms. Berman, board members, these programs, my understanding, and this is new information for me too, so I haven't had a lot of time to absorb it or to look into it, but my understanding is that these programs are run by healthcare professionals, medical doctors, RNs, DOs, and so I think that it would be up to those. You know, if a physician is voluntarily entering into this program, I believe that the physicians running the program would make the determination whether or not, you know, if it's a minor mental health issue or, you know, whatever it may be, whether or not there is a safety issue for the public if that physician is practicing. And again, it was told to us over and over repeatedly that these programs do report to regulatory boards when necessary, if there is a public safety issue. So I hope that that answers your questions, probably a roundabout way, but I would think that no, if a person cannot practice, that program would restrict them from practicing. If that physician determined that they were still going to practice at that point, I believe that the program would contact the regulatory board because it is a public safety issue at that point.
And Ms. Broman?
Is this a full-time program? Maybe that's a better way to ask
the question. Heather, I hate to stop this. We're not agendized to have a really long, drawn-out conversation on this issue. I believe we're just doing this under agency operation.
It's on the agenda to review the Federation meeting, and the PHP program was what the meeting consisted of. But if you feel that we're getting too involved, then the board could just direct me if it's the board's pleasure to direct me to obtain additional information, and I can bring it back at a future meeting.
Because if I was just going to make one quick point to Ms. Broman, I was in attendance at when this was initially presented to us back at the Federation of State Medical Boards in, what was that, April or May down in Nashville. And they did give instances and they did talk about this, that just like Heather just mentioned, that these groups that do this work with the physicians and the state board if there are, because some of the examples and cases they gave, the people were suspended from practicing for, you know, whatever period of time it was to, and then there were lots of examinations and things that were done to determine if their, what their fitness to practice was. So it does happen that way. So, but.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right. So, let us know. I mean, would you like Heather to do some more, contact to the two groups here in town, Bridges and Community, what's the other one?
It's Community Bridges and Arizona and, Gateway Recovery.
And Gateway Recovery, just to ask them if we would have to contact, if we needed this program, you know, how would we contract with them, and then also the other question, it was the change of language in the application for licensure, the change that Heather read, if that's something that you're in agreement to do or not. I mean, if you want to think about this or whatever, we can do that. We can re-agendize it for further discussion later.
I think that would be most appropriate.
Okay, so why don't we do that? We can just, we'll just put this on to continue this discussion at another meeting, agendize that item. Because that way, too, we'll have more info also, too, from the compact meeting. So, all righty. So the executive director's report is next. We have the budget and the complaint log and Heather's memo.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, board members. As you may recall, the board issued a non-disciplinary order for continuing education to Dr. Seikerbike at its May 8th meeting. On October 18th, 2024, Dr. Seikerbike did complete the requirements, and in consultation with the board chair, he was released from the non-disciplinary order. I can answer any questions about the current budget. And then one new complaint has been added to the complaint log since I sent out board materials. And that's my summary.
Does anybody have any questions for Heather on her reports? Okay, then we'll move on to summary of current events. There's nothing under this item if anybody has anything to add. Next is our call to the public. The gallery is empty, so we have no public to call. Then next is our discussion of possible agenda items, action items for further meeting agendas. And as we just noted, we continue our discussion regarding the compact and the PHP issues. Our next board meeting is for December the 12th, 2024. And if you recall, Heather did present to us the schedule for the year 2025. And there was an issue with, since a board meet, we had a board meeting scheduled on the 8th of January and on the next week, there was the question of boardrooms. So we need to decide if which day to have our meeting.
Right, Madam Chair, board members, this is Heather Broaddus again. Boardroom C, the boardroom that this board always meets in, is not available on January 8th, but it is available on January 15th. The only boardroom available on January 8th is boardroom B. So it's up to the board if they would like to reschedule that January 8th meeting to January 15th so we can have the meeting in boardroom C. Or if you just like to continue with the January 8th meeting and have it in boardroom B.
Is there a big difference in the boardroom?
Boardroom B is a little bit smaller and the equipment is different. It's just, it's not as familiar as this meeting room.
So you're asking whether or not for just January we can change it?
Yeah, because Heather went ahead and booked for the next week in our regular room. So we have both rooms for both different rooms for 2 weeks in a row. So we just need to decide which one we want.
Mm-hmm. Right. The 2025 calendar I sent out last month said that the meeting would be January 8th. And then when I looked into it, boardroom B or C is not available January 8th, but it is January 15th.
1-5 or 1-6 are you saying?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch
January 15th? That. I'm sorry, January, you cut out January 15th or 16th. I mean, you're still saying Wednesday, January 15th, right?
Yes, January 15th, yes. It would still be on a Wednesday.
1-5, okay. I have no problem with the 15th.
Dr. Foreman or Ms. Johnson Gray?
I'd rather stay on the 8th.
Ms. Johnson Gray, do you have any?
I don't have any preference.
And I'm fine with either.
And Dr. Foreman, you said you may have a conflict on the 15th?
I already have patients booked, so
okay.
Because we block it off in advance, so it's much easier for me to stay with the same day.
Yeah, we need to maintain quorum, so.
Okay, that's fine. I just would like board members to know, you know, we'll be in a different boardroom, but it's fully up to the board, you know, which day. So we can stay with January 8th.
Is everybody in agreement?
So that will be in what room number?
It's the boardroom directly across from this one on the other side of the hallway. So it's boardroom B.
B, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, like Heather said, it's a little smaller and the communications equipment in there's a little different. So anyway, okay. So our next board meeting is December the 12th, 2024 in boardroom C. I'll make one last call for any comments, questions, or concerns. Hearing none, I will move to adjourn the meeting at 10:36 a.m. Do I have a second?
I'm sorry. I was trying to get off of mute.
Oh, no worries.
Oh. This is Tawanda. I was looking at the board meeting date on our agenda, and it had the 11th. The 12th is a Thursday.
Oh.
So it should be December 11th.
Yes, that's correct. You are correct. Yeah, you are correct. December the 11th. Okay. Yeah, on our thing it says the 12th, but that's okay. So yes, our next board meeting is December 11th, 2024 in Boardroom C. And anything else we missed? So I will.
That's all I see.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion to adjourn at 10:37 a.m.
Seconded.
Thank you. Moved and seconded to adjourn. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so moved. Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Everybody have a nice Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Thank you. Everybody have a good holiday.